In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Saint Andrew, first apostle, and the first feast of the church year. Advent always starts on the Sunday that is closest to his day. You hear a hint of that in that fifth stanza of the hymn that we just sang. But what should we consider on this honorable Apostles' Day? Well, let Andrew speak for himself. He says, "We have found the Messiah," which means the Christ. Like all of Jesus' apostles, Andrew is a gift that the Lord has given to us. He's given him to the church for our sake. And not was, but is a gift to the church. Because he still serves us yet today through his preaching and his example. And this very text, which don't point to himself, but they point us to Jesus the Messiah. And he is a gift because we confess that in Christ, Andrew is not dead, but is alive with God. He looks for the resurrection of the dead just as we do. Looks for the resurrection of Christ at his second advent. Now, Andrew, we learn in today's gospel, was a disciple of John the Baptist. Now, in the first century Jewish way of seeing things, John the Baptist wasn't anyone special. He was just another wandering rabbi. And that's the very same thing that they would have thought about Jesus too. John had his followers, his disciples. Jesus later would have his disciples too. But you know, seeing what happens in today's gospel reading, you might think that Jesus is kind of a bit of a crooked rabbi. Because it's no accident that he goes walking by this other teacher. And then, of course, steals away two of his disciples to come follow him instead. But this is far from an infringement on John's territory. This isn't the end, but it is the culmination of John's teaching to these two disciples. Because John came not only preaching repentance, but he came preaching everything that his father, Zechariah, had prophesied and sung about him in the Benedictus, like we sing all through Advent at Matins. "You, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us." John is forerunner. That's his title. And he's forerunner for the Lord himself. John preaches repentance for the sake of the forgiveness of sins, which is made possible only by the Lord's tender mercy. And the Lord's mercy has now caused this day spring to dawn, this morning star to come and visit his people. It has caused the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord at last has arrived on the scene. And so, when he walks by John and his disciples at the Jordan, this is John's biggest moment. And he does not blow it at all. But he sings his famous song, which is still one of the core songs of the church that we sing every week. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And hearing this, Andrew and that other guy peel off after Jesus. So what does this show us? It shows us that those two disciples were actually entirely true and faithful to John. They were faithful disciples of their first rabbi. Because John's teaching was this: that John must decrease and that Christ must increase. John didn't have to kick these two guys out of the nest. Rather, they heard the word that John was saying. They saw the man that he was pointing at, and they believed. And so they left that forerunner behind so that they could follow the real deal, the Lamb. Only if they would have stayed with John, actually, would they have truly been defecting from him. And so it is with us. If we would observe Advent rightly, or if we would observe any saint's day like St. Andrew's Day rightly, then we need to do just as St. Andrew does and as his rabbi tells us. We must behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and follow after him. Our devotion is to this Lamb, to Jesus. He forgives our sins. He goes as the sacrifice for our salvation, the Lamb of God. And he, not St. Andrew, not John the Baptist, but Jesus answers prayers. Because he alone is the one mediator between God and men. And the only name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. What are you guys seeking? Jesus says. Well, where are you staying? Come and you'll see. In that little interchange of questions, the desire of these two disciples is seen. They are after Jesus. They want to abide with him. They want to abide with the Lamb who takes away their sins and the sins of the whole world. They seek him, just as John has taught them to do. But then, that's when we first learn, in the story at least, that Andrew, the man of the day, is one of these two. But of course, we hear that when he mentions that Andrew is Simon Peter's brother. Simon Peter, he's the apostle that we know a whole lot better than Andrew. And John's gospel admits it, right? He's introduced to us as Peter's brother. Maybe some of you know what that's like, to be defined by someone else, to be defined as the so-and-so belonging to this person who everyone knows, the more famous one, the more important person than you are. Well, guess what? That isn't all that important. Andrew had learned what John had taught him. That I must decrease and Christ must increase. And here Andrew's greatness then is actually immediately seen by us. First, he goes to find his brother and he goes to tell him, "We found the Messiah. We found God's anointed one. He's Christ. The day spring on high has visited us. The righteous branch has come forth. The Lord and his kingdom are at hand. The Lamb of God is here to take away the sins of the world." Andrew anticipates the apostolic task to bring men to Jesus. And he is among those feet that Isaiah called beautiful. Andrew preaches the good news, the gospel, first to Peter. And then to others. Traditionally, Andrew is said to have gone after Jesus' ascension to preach in Greece, where eventually he was martyred. You probably actually know, on a cross they think that was in the shape of an X, sometimes called the St. Andrew's Cross. I think there's one on the Scottish flag, actually. In any case, their voice, the voice of Christ speaking by his prophets and apostles, their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world, as Psalm 19 says, and as Paul quotes in today's epistle. And what does that voice say? It says to everyone, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Lastly, Andrew gives us an example to follow too. We see, I think, one of the best examples in the Bible of Christian confession and witness. Not all people are sent out as apostles or as doctors of the church or as pastors. That's the truth. And as our epistle reading emphasized, we ought to give attention to whether or not a preacher is truly sent from God. And yet, that message, that apostolic message, is not limited to only certain people. The Lamb of God is for all people. He takes away the sins of the world. And all who find him will confess him. Andrew, even before his time of following Jesus and learning from him, even before he was sent out as a chosen apostle of Jesus, Andrew was confessing this Jesus before others, before Peter. And this isn't some great evangelism program. This isn't some nonsense about how all of you are really ministers deep down. You are full-time missionaries with part-time jobs that sure seem to be full-time to me, being farmers or factory workers or fathers or whatever it is that you do. No thank you to any of that junk. Rather, look at Andrew. We are simply Christians. And Christians confess their faith. If you believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth, as the epistle says. Christians are overjoyed at the advent of Christ. And what can we do but tell others about it? We found the Messiah. And not tell this to the world, not just to abstract lost people that we're always told that we're supposed to have a heart for. No, but to the people that we know. Maybe even the people that we like and love. The people that we live with. True neighbors. So Andrew went to Peter, his brother, and he told him. He probably passed by a million strangers on the way. And he didn't stop to tell each and every one of them about Jesus. Fine. You let your vocation be your guide. You're not a missionary. You're not an apostle to Greece like Andrew. You are fathers, mothers, workers, relatives, friends. So be a Christian as all of those. Delight first in this Lamb of God. Behold him, seek him, follow him, be his disciple. And then you too will confess him also before friends, before family, before all the people you actually know and actually do meet. And then when you do it, you'll be genuine. You won't be some peddler of God's word, or maybe worse, trying to do it for your own benefit somehow. So then, thank God for his work by Saint Andrew. No peddler of God's word, but a faithful apostle. And thank God especially for his wonderful confession in today's gospel. This is the Messiah, the Christ. Flesh and blood does not reveal this message, this gospel to anyone, even if a flesh and blood preacher or brother Christian comes to you and tells it to you. But it is each and every time the Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ himself, who brings forth such a confession, even from your mouths, dear saints. Faith comes by hearing God's word. And the word is especially this, that Christ has come to be our Lamb, a sacrifice for our sins, to take them away. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.